Hey, Pastor Dan?
Yes, sir.
Could you come here for a minute?
Yes, sir.
I'm actually the wrong person. Miracle.
Miracle.
I just saw one. I just witnessed a miracle. Just witnessed a miracle. Am I live? Okay, am I going first?
Yes, you're doing that first. Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Praise God.
Absolutely. We're just standing in agreement.
That was good to me.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazma.
Elohim Tov. All right. The first order of business today is that we do something that has been long overdue. We have,
your mic was on the up.
You want it on that side?
But it won't work.
No, it won't work. Yeah. So, something that we have, it's been long overdue to be, done at this church. We have a, men's fellowship that is as international as the church. We have men from this fellowship that call me to tell me how much they've grown since they've started being a part of SALT. And we were in the car and we were saying,
you're cutting my hair, and your wife said.
Yeah, and my wife said, what? Is he ordained as a minister?
Has he been licensed?
Yeah. And we've ordained a lot of ministers here, and I was saying, what?
Licensed,
right. And so, we said, well, we need to get that done because, I mean, he's as big a part of Soldiers for Christ as anything. So, because you say SALT, you say Soldiers for Christ,
yeah,
right? So, I want to, and I'm going to do this so I read it correctly. Okay. So, therefore, we certify of ordination this certificate that minister Ryan Powell, as one who has given evidence of a calling by God and hereby ordained as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and licensed by Soldiers for Christ Global Community Church, USA. That's because we're international. We got to say that. And on this day, is this February 6th?
Yes.
To 2022, and signed by Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben Davis. Praise God.
Yes,
Stan and Ryan, would you please come forward? And we are sorry it took so long.
Amen.
But you know, it's a credit to you that you never even asked.
Never.
You just kept going. So praise God, and I want to thank you for everything that you do for the church. Incredible man of God.
Amen. So you have to anoint him and pray over him with the oil that's in him.
Okay. So now, since we are... This is your new tallit, and I'm taking this oil. Is this some Abigail's oil?
It is some.
I read about Abigail in the Bible the other day.
Amen.
And I'm going to anoint you, and Pastor Ben is going to pray over you, okay?
Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we stand before you on this day, at this hour, at this time, we are delighted to thank you for sending this minister of the gospel to this house. We pray, Lord, over his journey, over his atmosphere, and over his family.
Hallelujah.
We pray, Lord, that you would take him through whatever is necessary to get him where he needs to be. For he is truly a soldier for Christ, and he is called by you in thy name. We bless his journey from this moment on as he is officially an ambassador of Jesus Christ representing Soldiers for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to put that back in there. Put the oil back in there. Take your certificate.
Amen.
And now, hold up. I want to call your daughter, Riley, to the front. And also the wife and the sack champion from the University of Michigan. What's that guy's name? Aiden. Oh, I forgot. I mean, the guy from the University of Michigan. His name's Aiden, too. He's like going to be the first pick in the draft, but hopefully Aiden, too. So this is the family, and one of us can sing really good. So if this was Sesame Street, it would land on Riley. So we're going to have Riley sing for us in honor of her father, and then we're going to get started. Amen. Praise God. Hug your family. Okay, I'm with you.
Hallelujah. This girl can sing. Y'all just don't know.
Amen. So you don't need that if you don't. It'll be right here. You'll still be able to hear it. It will still be able to hear you.
I don't know the words. I was told to prepare.
Oh, yeah? Oh, you have the words on your phone?
No, I'm not paper.
On your paper? Okay.
Ooh, they still use paper?
No. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to get out of your way.
Okay.
Because it's not a duet.
Okay.
I would mess it up.
I'm just feeling so...
Hallelujah.
So blessed. So. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to the one who is always, all your mercy will be. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy, worthy. Oh. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Oh, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. God, your name, you're worthy of being praised. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Oh, with all creation we sing praise to
beautiful.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, while we're just still in praise, right? I just want to quickly just before the kids leave, Alyssa got an award this week, and I can't, you guys know I got a heart for the kids. I can't let her run out without just giving her some love. Yeah, she got honor roll. Hallelujah.
Congratulations.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, look, I got proof.
Hey.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, you want to stop?
Amen.
And then I'm going to pray Sandy in, I promise.
Is it yours?
And yes, mine.
Okay.
You got two right.
Okay.
Okay. But I wanted to also, because I know Ryan. We know Ryan, right? Ryan's been in this church now for a couple of years, and he goes home to Regina, and she puts up with him.
Amen.
Amen. She puts up with him with all the prayer and assignments and all the long hours of praying and running off and moving people's furniture for him and stuff and grabbing stuff with his truck. I'm not saying it was me, but you know, she has to put up with that.
Amen.
So I just want everybody to acknowledge Missy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right? He who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So we want to always honor that as well. Family are a big part of ministry. A big part of the ministry.
Yes. Yeah.
Everybody is sacrificing in order for you to be what you're called to do.
Yes.
So that means we're all a part of the ministry.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, Pastor Sandy. Please stand up. Hallelujah. Last time, I promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have had fun today, Pastor.
Yes, we have.
Yes, yes. Awesome, awesome. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day, dear Jesus, like it's like no other day, dear Lord. It's blessed in its own right, dear Jesus. Help us to be present in it, not thinking about tomorrow, dear Lord. Tomorrow will take care of itself, dear Jesus. Let us be blessed in the moment, dear Lord. Let us stand, dear Lord, with ears to receive and a heart, dear Lord, bowed before you, dear Lord, so we could hear what you have given Pastor Sandy today, dear Lord. I thank you that he was before your throne receiving from the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, studying, dear Lord, so he could be at a point of overflow. And that we get to catch all the things that are flowing out of him, dear Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let us come in receiving and expecting on today, dear Lord. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Brandon, could you come up here and bring your wife and your son?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Family, I wanna thank all the SALT folks that came up in
here. Hallelujah.
Thank you. And just being here for this day. And I also just want to remind you, because of time, we are going to do offering. You can prepare your hearts and minds for that. It's a continuous of praise, but we will pick it up after service today. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
All right.
Amen.
Come up here. I just want to see.
Brandon.
Okay. This is Pastor Brandon.
Amen.
He brought his whole family today, and I just wanted you guys to see their shirts. Could you introduce yourself?
Jamaica, this is Alan.
Alan
Johnson.
Okay, and they're pastors at their own church, and hallelujah, they're here today. I don't know why, but
thank God
you're here.
We knew there was a special.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay. All right. Praise God. Thank you guys for coming. Okay.
Amen. All right, Pastor, you're ready to roll.
Okay.
And we have sent out notes.
Praise God. All you incredibly blessed, overly blessed, wonderful future ahead of you people. I just want to say thank you for being here. I also want to say that it is a pleasure to be with Christians who are truly endeavoring to be as Christ wants them to be.
Amen.
You guys know me, and I've never been wanting to be a part of any show or pretentious anything. I'm always about, you know, am I really living for Jesus? Yeah. I have to thank for that. One of my pastor, who is my mentor, Jewel Jones, who is 74 or 75 now. I think he's been a pastor for over 40 years now and been married for 50 some years, right? And he was really the first pastor that I met that I really respected, because it was the first time I met a pastor that loved his wife, loved his church, and was not doing anything crazy, right? That was the first time. I mean, and I was about to become a pastor, which is the reason why I met him. So I do want to thank my mentor, Pastor Jewel Jones. They did give him a doctorate degree, but he threw it in the drawer. He said, because I'm not a real doctor and I'm not going to pretend like some of these pastors do. So, which tells you why I really do love him.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get started on this message, but I have to get started the way the Lord wants me to. And the first way is to go over our booklet that Pastor Ben, you know, I was telling Pastor Ben, you don't have to do one for everybody, just have one for me, and I'll come in a day and he'll have one for everybody. So I thank you very much for your diligence. Thank you for all our S4C family all over the world. I got to talk to a lot of them by phone this past weekend, all the way up to Winnipeg, Ileana, and it's just been a beautiful thing talking to people who are growing in Christ and waiting on the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We are a very peculiar group, and I'll tell you how. We trust everybody. You know, it's like we Christians have this innate ability to see the good in everyone, no matter what. You understand? I was even talking to Drea this morning, and while she was talking, the Lord spoke to me and said, see? Because we were talking about pastors, and this pastor bought this Rolls Royce, right? And I thought that was extravagant. And Drea said, well, you know, it was extravagant, but you know, when a church starts taking in that much money and they don't really know, you can't really blame them, because it's, yeah, you kind of say that. Let me finish. And then, hey, so you can clear it up. Okay. But she said, like, it's hard for a church to bring in that much money with that fast, yeah, and not be tempted to do it, okay? Yeah. To do crazy things with it, right? And then as soon as she said it, though, the Lord said, see? See, because what we do is we want to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. Like, how many people did I have to argue with that Kanye's not a real Christian?
Oh.
You know, because everybody was like, he is, you're just judging. And I'm like, okay, let me, because God showed me why and exactly everything that he was doing, and why all the women had long hair because of a witchcraft thing called Braille. They all had long hair. So his whole thing with the worship and all had to do with satanic worship, yet he was singing Christian songs. But God was just showing me everything that he was doing, right? So being able to see that and to say, okay, that's not some music that I'm going to listen to, is what God wants for us to do. He wants us to watch and pray. And when you're watching, you're being wise, okay? Now, we've been under attack, the Lord told me this morning. He said the church has been under attack for a long time. You know, Constantine wasn't the first one to hate the church and want to destroy it. And he wasn't the one who initiated. Satan initiated it in his heart, and then Satan initiated other things in other people's hearts. As the church has grown, Satan has always tried to come up with a way to destroy the church. Constantine couldn't destroy the church by throwing them in the lion's den, right? The church kept growing. You're like, many, we throw them to the lions? And you would think a lot of them would just be scared and say, we're not going to be Christians anymore. But they got bolder and bolder, and the church kept growing and growing. He says, so finally he says, I know what we'll do. Let's join. And then we'll subvert it from the inside. And then once we subvert it from the inside, we can destroy it from the inside out, okay? And so since about Constantine's time, the objective of Satan has not to be to attack the church from the outside because you look like a bad guy. You have to go inside and then destroy it from the inside, okay? Now, if you look at the page one on your booklet, I would like you to show the cameras too, Pastor Ben. But I can do it like this.
Yeah,
I can do it like this. Because the young lady that you see at the top is Fiona Barnett. And she is a victim of child pedophilia during her youth when she was young, okay? Now let me have that back, Pastor Ben, so I can read it. Now it says survivor of satanic ritual abuse called out her abusers, okay? And one thing she said, and I'll have to read it on the next, she says, during this trip, I was, are you guys reading with me? It's on the second page at the top. It says, during this trip, I was, I don't know how to say the word, raped, molested by media founder Ted Turner at a pedophilia party held at Disneyland. I was trafficked to an annual summer camp, Bohemian Grove, attended by notable politicians, businessmen, and VIPs. I was raped by Reverend Billy Graham in a pink bubble themed cabin at Bohemian Grove, okay? Now, when she came out and said this, everybody said, you're a liar. Why are you saying that about Billy Graham? You're trying to ruin his name, right? And so it's either this young girl who says she's a victim is a liar, or what you believed about the person that you thought was your minister was a lie, okay? So I was not willing to call this lady a liar after her boldness to come out and say what happened to her. You understand? Now, what we all ignored was that this person has always been a part of the Freemasons. What we ignored was that he was best friends with Nixon, the Bushes, the Clintons, the Pope, you know what I mean? Wherever he went, he was held in high regard, no matter who it was, okay? So I know for a fact, when I saw him hobnobbing with Obama toward the end of his life, that if I, as a pastor, you saw me hanging out with the Bush, with George Bush, or with the Clintons, or with the Pope, or I'm at the Pope and kissing the Pope's ring, you would stop going to church here, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope you wouldn't go, but I like Pastor Sandy. I would go, you are so dumb. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm doing that, that means God is trying to show the world something, that this person may not be what you think, okay? Now, this has been going on for years, okay? So for us to believe that the church is not under attack is foolishness on our side, and it's foolishness on our side that we've ignored this year by year by year, even though when they get caught, we go, oh, he was just a bad guy. But the rest of them are good. But they're all best friends, right? So on page 2, at the top, you see him sitting with the Pope, and you also see him sitting with President Nixon. And the little girl said, who's a grown lady now, said Nixon was the one who recommended her to Billy Graham, right? So let me tell you guys, when the Lord gave me this message on Saturday, I was like, I don't need to do this. And so every time I talk to somebody on the phone that's a member, they said, oh, I'm so glad you're exposing people and things I knew that were wrong, but I didn't know, but I never stopped listening to them. And now you're exposing and I knew it. And I'm like, okay, Lord, that's confirmation. I want you. Then I talk to the next person and say, oh, I'm glad you exposed this, because if you didn't. And then so the Lord was like constantly using the people that I talked to on the phone to tell me to do the right thing, okay? I'm not doing this for any other reason than to let you know that the church is under attack. Yeah. That Christians who want to follow Jesus are under attack, okay? And the reason why we're under attack, we'll get into. Now, here we see this statement by, it said, T.D. Jakes to Reverend Franklin, asking Reverend Franklin to apologize for questioning Obama's true Christian. So Franklin Graham wanted, T.D. Jakes wanted Franklin Graham to apologize to Obama because he said Obama might not be a real Christian. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, wow, okay. So let's go to the next page, page 3. And so now you have this guy saying that he's going to be the next Billy Graham, okay? And so then we see him on the Oprah, and they asked him, is Jesus Christ the only way to God, okay? Now, let's forget that you do yoga classes at your church. Let's forget that. When I ask a Christian, is Jesus Christ the only way of salvation, shouldn't we all have the same answer?
Yeah.
Okay. But his answer to Oprah on that day was, we have many different people and diverses of ways of doing things, so there has to be more than one way to God. At that time, if I'm a member at his church, I get up and leave, but that church is still packed. So obviously, that statement had no effect on rather they believe that he's a true man of God or not, right? Because that's not how we operate, you understand? That's not really what he meant would be our statement, okay? So we have to know and understand this is in the church. It's not just, how many of you guys saw my Facebook of Noel Jones?
I did.
Okay? He's announcing and trying to tell everybody and all of his church members that this lady from from an Asian country, that she is the daughter of God and sent to earth to bring all religions into one unity. And he's introducing her and explaining that what she's doing is such a noble and brave thing. Noel Jones.
And
they were clapping. His members were clapping. And I was like, not one of those Christians are going to stand up and go, this isn't right. Okay? Because it's not our nature. You understand? But God wants it to be your nature. God wants you to stand up and say, this isn't right. I see this, and I'm not going to tell myself I don't see it. Okay? Pastor Bean put this one in here, but that's the whole family throwing up the Bofamite sign. I hope they're graduating from Texas University. Otherwise, there's no reason for the Bofamite sign. Let's go to page 4. Now, Franklin Graham, who said that said that Obama might not be a real Christian, ended up being photographed as best friends with a guy, with the owner of Voodoo Donuts, who was implicated in a pedophile ring. Okay? But he's best friends with the owner. One of the victims from that, his name was Michael Whalen, says he was never disassociated from his member from his memories of ritual abuse and trafficking. He described being a victim of child hunts, and remember the little girl said that's what they did, they do child hunts, that Luciferian pedophiles are fond of. Michael named Voodoo Donuts founder Tress Shannon as a perpetrator of child trafficking, and just he had brought out that Voodoo Donuts was implemented at that time in a child pedophilia ring, and the owners of Voodoo Donuts were implemented in this. And Franklin Graham is best friends, whose father was also said that he operated in the same way, right? So we can ignore, you can continually ignoring what you see, or else you can say, wait a minute, something's not right. If Joel Osteen shows up at a concert to honor the gay, lesbian, and how many letters they have with it now, whatever, community, and he's there at a Lady Gaga because she's raising money for their community, and Joel Osteen and his wife are there taking pictures with Lady Gaga, do you think his church should be empty on the next day? Yep. Would mine?
Yep.
Because I don't think any of you guys would show up if you saw me on CNN at a Lady Gaga concert to raise money for the GPLGSB whatever community. Right? So I'm saying we have to wake up, and we have to, when we see stuff, don't close your eyes and say, maybe it's not happening. Mm-hmm. Maybe this, I got saved. Now look, I'm not telling people, get out of every church that you think is bad. I got saved at a church, Pentecostal church. I just heard the gospel. They had a guest speaker that night who probably didn't know them well. And he preached the gospel. I went for it, gave my life to Christ.
Yeah.
But when I started going to church there, I noticed that there was a guy who would sit by the pastor all the time, who was not gay, but we used to call it flaming. Is that the term?
Yeah.
He was flaming. It was obvious to everybody that's what he was, right? But he would be with the pastor. And me as a new Christian, I go, well, maybe God delivered him and he's just, he's gonna be better later.
Yeah.
And it turned out that him and the guy were boyfriend, girlfriend, even though the pastor was married and had children. So I ignored it. And when it really came out, they was like, did you know? And I was like, oh, that guy, but I could have looked at that and say, this ain't right, and just walked out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not our nature. You understand?
Right.
Okay. Now, Kenneth Copeland, who is a 33-degree Mason, came into ministry under Oral Roberts, who is a 33-degree Mason, okay? And he came in 1997, okay? And so you got Freemason building up other Freemasons in ministry, okay? Robert Schuller, Crystal Cathedral, 33-degree Freemason, okay? Go to the next page, whatever that is, 5. And here's Kenneth Copeland, and he's with Jonathan Kahn. See, they all kind of hang out together, okay? But I've been disfriended by people because I said Jonathan Kahn. I could have stopped listening based on teaching, but the $5,000 prayer for people who, the Hebrew prayer for people, only people who send in $5,000 was my breaking point, okay? So, but I brought it out, and then that's what happened, okay? Now watch this. Clarification in Atlanta. Clarification in Atlanta, faith preacher Creflo Dollar about his role in raising a hefty $2 million gift to donate to Kenneth Copeland. Why? Why is this church giving this church $2 million? Because he's a master mason over him, Leroy Thompson, and another guy, and I forget his name, but he is the master mason over them. Even today, they got Pastor Ben put here, what's her name? Joyce Myers getting in her private plane. And I've never, even if, I don't care if anybody say anything bad about Joyce Meyer, I think Joyce Myers is awesome. And you know why? I ignore that she's rich. I ignore that she has a private plane, okay? And that's my nature. That's all of our nature, you understand? If we start liking somebody, we don't wanna say that person is a bad person, okay? They have to get caught first, okay? So, and of course, there's Kenneth Copeland. Now, Kenneth Copeland's net worth is $760 million. You guys hear that? He's a pastor. Pat Robinson, $100 million. Benny Hinn, $42 million. Joel Osteen, $40 million. Creflo Dollar, $27 million. And they had a whole list that went all the way down as far as you could go. Okay, yeah, Bill Winston, Leroy Thompson, Creflo Dollar are under Master Mason Kenneth Copeland, okay? Bill Winston is really a strange guy. But, okay, now, there was outrage at the Southern Baptist Convention toward the reports considering the general knowledge by Freemasons teaching universalism, which says that everyone goes to heaven whether they know Jesus Christ or not, okay? And now to stay in the Southern Baptist Convention, you have to know that they believe this, but you're gonna stay into the thing, okay? Because there's a lot of money to be made in the Southern Baptist Convention because you get on tours, you get book deals, you get all kinds of stuff, right? So when one of the ladies, who's the young lady you guys used to watch your CDs? And she was Beth Moore decided, she said, I can't do it anymore, I'm getting out. I commended Beth Moore. I was like, good for you. She's like, it's not worth the money. They made her look so bad. They made her look like she was going, they say she's losing her mind because she was leaving the Southern Baptist Convention. But her conviction to do it, I was like, let's find out why she's doing it, okay? So you gotta understand that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we're done with that, you guys. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, told us what was coming. And he told us and prophesied to us about what the church would be like right before the rapture, okay? So I want us to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, okay? And we're going to start reading in verse 14. Now, you might not understand this, so I want to explain it. The book of the church of Ephesus is the church, first church that's going to exist after Jesus leaves, okay? So when you talk about seven churches, you're talking about the seven time periods that will exist and seven church periods that will exist before the return of Christ. Ephesus is the first. Then you got Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira. Pergamos is means mixed marriage or defiled mixed marriage, which was when the Catholic Church married the church and they kept Babylonian worship. So that means they said you can still worship idols, you can still bow down to them, you can put flowers on them, you can kiss idols, you can pray to Mary as being a god, you can do all of that because she's representing Samarius. And so you can do all of this, and so you can worship, do everything you did in Babylon, but you gotta say Jesus and replace it with Christ and Mary, okay? So Pergamos was just a mixed marriage between Babylonian idol worship and Christianity, okay? And that became Catholicism in the world. That was one of the churches that is talked of. It's called Church of Pergamus, and it means a mixed marriage. Okay? So all of these churches, then you get to the Church of Philadelphia, and then you get to this other church called the Church of Laodicea. And Laodicea means ruled by the people. Which means if the people are ruling it, where's Jesus? Okay, so let's read. Okay, it says, the angel of the Church of Laodicea writes, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am going to spit you out of my mouth. I love the English translation there because the real word for that, I think it's emim or mimes in the Greek, which means to vomit you out, right? So whatever lukewarm is, it doesn't sit well in the stomach of God.
Amen.
Okay? It's something that he doesn't want, okay? And so it says here, I wish that you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Now he says about because Revelation chapter 4 hasn't come. That means the trumpet hasn't been blown. He's just saying to the Laodicean church, if you don't get it together, I'm about to spit you out. Okay? Because my stomach can't take you. You understand? Not the taste of you, not the feel of you in my stomach. I can't take it. So he said, this is about to happen. Now, let's continue. You say I am rich. Okay. $760 million. Is that rich? Yes. $100 million. Is that rich? Yes. Okay. If I'm a pastor and I'm making $5 million a year and I drive a Rolls Royce, but I don't have any way for other people to get to church, something's wrong, right?
Right.
I told you guys about that pastor in Texas. He was already very wealthy on Wall Street. All he did was take over a church and made sure that everybody in that church prospered financially by doing what? I'm going to make everybody in this church homeowners and not renters.
Right.
That's what he said. And we're going to take up collection, but we're going to put it aside for you to get a down payment, to get a car, to get a house. And we're going to make sure that you guys have the jobs and the credit to get homes. And he says, we don't want anyone here at the church to be renters. We want you all to be homeowners because I know I worked on Wall Street. When you're a homeowner, you're going to make more money for yourself, for your family, and you're going to be investing into your property that belongs to you. And so he did that. He came in, 15% of the congregation were homeowners. By 3 years later, I think 85% of the church was homeowners, okay? So you have the choice. You have the choice to have how you're going to spend money.
Right.
It comes in, and I'm not going to give you an excuse because it's coming in. It's how you spend it that God is watching, because when people give to you, they're not giving to you.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
If I give a church money, I'm not giving it to the pastor.
Right.
I'm giving it to the church.
Wow. Wow.
And so the church, when he gives it to the church says, if you're giving it to us, you're giving it to Jesus.
Right.
And Jesus says, that's my money.
Yeah.
And you say, well, I'm going to take some of your money, Jesus, and buy me a nice new furry hat or a Rolls Royce. And so now you're responsible. You understand? But God said, this is the heart of the Laodicean church. Was Jesus correct in prophesying that this would be a very wealthy church?
Yes.
We are the church of Laodicea. Listen to this. It says, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Now he's saying this, they're wretched and pitiful, but he's saying spiritually, you got a lot of money, but you spiritually, you are poor. You understand? You can leave this world a billionaire and land in heaven and don't have a cent to your name. You understand? Because like I told the guys in prison, when I was doing prison ministry, hey man, you guys collecting all these noodles and people owe you money, but you getting released next month. You can't take none of this stuff with you. You only get to take out what you brought in. So you got to give all that stuff away. And y'all fighting over noodles and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, but they feel rich and they're in there. But I'm like, dude, you're about to get released. Let it go. But the mentality of a human being is, where I am is most important, and everything that's here is most important, even more important than anything out there. So to us, this can be more important than heaven or afterlife. And so we have to check ourselves so that we don't become like these people. You say, I'm rich and acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counseled you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, spiritually rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your nakedness. Because he's saying you got on physical clothes, but spiritually you're naked.
Yeah.
And it says, and sloth to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke. You understand? If you're sinning, God's going to make sure he rebukes you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to go well for you. Why? Because if I let it go well for you with your with your actions, and I let it go well for you, you're going to end up in hell.
Yeah.
Because persistence in sin ends up in hell.
Yeah.
So I can't let it go. So God says, those who I love, I rebuke. Like my mom, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you because I love you. No, it doesn't. But if she doesn't do that, I'm going to think I can get away with this type of stuff all my life. And then when I'm in prison, she'll go, I should have rebuked him when he was young. You understand? So those whom he loves, he rebukes. Okay? So don't expect to get away with anything. Expect that God is going to deal with it, and you're going to call it, oh, I had bad luck. And God's going, no, you had my action.
Yeah.
Oh, this happened to me. No, that was my action. You understand? Because I know if you stay on that path, we're not going to be together. And I love you.
Right.
And I love you. That's what we're missing. And I love you. And so, therefore, I can't let you continue that way. Let's continue. It says, so be earnest. He says, when I rebuke you, be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Okay? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. And be and he with me. So that is where we all saying, and we understand now, this letter is to a church, it's not to individuals.
Right. Right.
I'm writing this letter to the church, which means I don't exist in there. I'm outside, I'm at the door. I know, let me tell you, I was like this. Here we go. I'm watching, God just called me to ministry, and I'm like, I'm watching T.D. Jakes on. And I'm just so, wow, look at all the people. Wow, and they're getting it so excited. And God told me, turn it off. And I went, oh. I was like, is that what you're going to do for me, Lord? Am I going to have a big church? He said, I don't want you to preach like that, and I don't want you to watch that station anymore. He said, I don't want you to preach like that. He said, a matter of fact, their God is standing before them. So I went, how is that? They're there for Jesus. They're not there for him. If he turns left and Jesus turns right, they'll all follow him.
Yeah.
Guaranteed it. He said they will all follow the man over Jesus if he turns the wrong way. So therefore, I can stand on Oprah's show and say Jesus is not the only way, and I can still have a packed church. What did that prove? You're not following Jesus.
Right.
You understand? That shows you're not following Jesus.
Right.
Because if you were following Jesus, if he turned left, you would follow Jesus right. You understand? But the fact that they can do all of this right in front of us, that they can go to Lady Gaga concert right in front of us with the letters behind you and standing at a board and taking pictures with celebrities and know why they're there, and then you still going to that church shows that you're not following Jesus, you're following that man and that church.
Yep.
And so this is what the Lord has been showing me. Are you ready, Sandy? The Lord says, are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for what, Lord? Something more incredible than you can imagine. Are you ready? I said, can I go back to sleep? Because I don't know if I'm ready for what you're telling me.
Right.
That sounds like woo. I was like, well, I'm going to go back to sleep, but I hope, you know, I want to be ready. But the Lord is trying to explain and express to me the world is about to experience something that it has never experienced before. And you're about to experience a joy you've never experienced before.
Amen.
You're about to go into the kingdom and be surrounded by thousands upon thousands of angels while all your brothers and sisters are congratulating and celebrating each other for making it in.
Yes.
You're about to experience that.
Yes.
But understand the time and the date you're living in, you're living in the time and dates of the Laodicean church. These people on the phone are telling you to preach boldly, but you were scared of this message. Why? Because you don't want people to not like you? Because they say, I got saved at a Billy Graham crusade? I got saved at a church with a gay preacher.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with it. It's what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
Who am I following?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna take a man's position over God.
Amen.
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 So Jesus says, I'm knocking at the door. I'm asking, is anybody inside that church? Is anybody inside of Joel Osteen's church who wants to have a personal relationship with me? Is there anyone in there? Because you can come out. Notice he doesn't say, or I'll come in there and have a relationship. He says, you can open the door and you come out here.
Mm-hmm.
And me and you can sup and have a personal relationship. But even Jesus is like, I'm not welcomed in there, so I don't go in. Creflo Dollar preaching. If you broke, you ain't gonna see the rapture.
I got it on tape.
If you broke, you will never see the rapture. People say nothing like that. God don't want us to be broke.
Oh my goodness.
And if you're broke, it's because you don't have faith. I'm like this. I gotta get some money here. I'm somebody left. I got faith for the money. Money. We fell for that.
Yeah, we did.
You know it was. You ain't never seen Jesus do that.
Never.
But the church fell for it.
Never.
You ain't never seen a church, Jesus do a money song.
No.
I'm going to pray for everybody that comes forward with $5,000. You ain't never seen Jesus do that.
No.
But we fell for it. We watch it and we give them a pass.
Yeah.
God said, that day is over. I said, what's the title tomorrow? He said, snakes in the pulpit, snakes in tribulation, and snakes in hell. We didn't have the last part, but he said, if they're fake in the pulpit, they'll never see me. Because they're not my servants.
Right, right.
They are the ones that say, didn't I do this in your name? And didn't I do that in your name? And he says, I'll say, away from me, I never knew you. Because
right.
There's a whole group of them that do this. And we're supposed to know them by what? Their fruit.
Yes. Right.
By what they do.
Right.
So when they do it, leave. Get out of there. Don't, he's a good person deep down inside. You're proving to God that's your God. When you do that, you're proving to God that's your God.
Yeah.
When he turns right and you turn with your pastor and you turn and you know he's not following Christ and you turn with him, you're proving that that guy is more important to you than the Bible.
Amen.
5 minutes
left.
Here we go. It says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. When he says, I will come in, he will come into you. You understand? Because he ain't going to that church. I will come into you and we will eat. Okay. And me with him and him with me. And then he says this in verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And we are the church of Laodicea.
Yeah.
Wealthy church, plenty of boats, planes, members. Financed by a Luciferian group called the Southern Baptist Convention. I didn't even know Steve Furtick because the church is called Elevation Church. I thought, oh, it's not Southern Baptist. It's called, a lot of them aren't called Baptists, but they're under the same leadership. So they buy them a $2 million house, and they buy them this, and they buy them this, but they don't own anything, and the same trust company owns all their homes. So if they go get out of line, guess what? They lose that lifestyle.
That's right.
And we have to understand, if Kenneth Copeland is worth $760 million as a master mason, how did he come into all that? You can get $10 million for a book deal and not sell a book. Do you know that if you're under the Southern Baptist Convention? Because they got to have a way to filter the money to you. So we'll give you a book deal. Don't worry, we'll get the money to you. We'll give you a book deal. You get a book deal, you never sell a book, but you get $10 million. You know why? Because you're under the umbrella of Satan.
Yeah.
We got to understand, this has been going on in the church for a long time. We're living at the last church. What happens at the last church? Revelation chapter 4. And after this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice that was first speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. And then the church period is over. You know that? That's the end of the seven churches.
That's it.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? Moses married seven daughters. Sheba means seven. Everything. Somebody showed me this week. Bathsheba mm-hmm. is daughter of seven. And she married who? Jewish king, David. So you got to understand something. Look, God has been telling you the same story since Genesis. There's a marriage going to take place between a Jewish guy and seven. What seven? The seven churches and a Jewish guy and a Jewish king. And we're at the door of it. We're living in the church of Laodicea. All I'm saying about the church is, if you're involved in it, if you're in it, watch what they do and don't become a part of it. Did I say leave your church? I'm not saying leave, but what I'm saying is, if you're going to stay, you better be there to stay to tell people about Christ and the craziness that's going on here.
Yes.
We have a member that's a member of a church in Dallas. When he found out that some of the members were selling dope in the church, they were selling drugs in the church, he went and told the pastor, and the pastor kicked him out the church. He's like, I thought I was doing the right thing, Pastor. You think he's involved? I said, well, you got kicked out, so what do you think?
Wow.
So when it all comes down to it, what is it? What is it? First religion in the world, and we can finish there. First religion in the world, what is it? Huh? First religion in the world, God and Adam. God and Adam. Talking in the cool breeze of the garden, just God and Adam. That's first religion in the world, okay? No temple, no chains with crosses, no nothing. Just how you doing this morning? Oh, by the way, don't eat of that tree. Okay? Just talking, okay? So that means that God's original thing was, I just want a personal one-on-one relationship with people.
Yeah.
That's really what I want. But since they fail, now we got to go through this whole cycle to get you back to having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you can't blame anything on other people. You can't even say, I was deceived. You know that? You can't. There's a chapter that we read very often that the prophet was doing well until he believed the false prophet. And then God didn't punish the false prophet. God punished the prophet for believing the false prophet. He said, because I gave you instructions before you left. I told you, when you get there, don't you eat nothing. Don't you sit down and don't you do nothing. You go, you tell him what I said and come back. He's on his way back. The false prophet says, hey, God said, you can come back and eat. He said, really? He said, I am hungry. So he went back, right? So I'm gonna catch you at your physical weak part, right?
Yeah.
He went back, he ate. While he's eating, God said, you gonna die. God didn't pronounce, ooh, they tricked you, I'm gonna get them. He said, you know what I told you to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. God didn't tell Eve, you ate of the fruit and he tricked you. We're gonna get him.
Mm-mm.
He said, no. You knew, your husband told you what I said, and you knew what I said. So don't try to get before God and say, oh, it was that church that I went to. Because you know what God's going to say? Did you have a Bible of your own? Did you have some free time of your own? Did you have some prayer time of your own? Because I've never been in this for the church. I've always been in this to have a personal relationship with you. And we're going to get back to that. The trumpet's about to blow, you guys. Are you ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
I went over my Bible study with Drea, and I said, Drea, you guys, you got to see what God has shown me concerning this year. I don't have another prophecy. I don't have another rapture prophecy after this year. I'm telling you right now. I said, I got to show you what he's shown me, pinpointing us to where it is. And I showed it to her. She went, wow, that's weird. That's strange. It's like, wow, right? We're there, you guys. But this is about relationship, okay? If I come in one day and I said, we're all going to worship Buddha instead. If you stand here and stay in your seat because I'm a nice guy, you are crazy.
Amen.
And I will call you crazy. I was like, you still here? You crazy. But go ahead. We're going to take them off for it. Get ready for joy.
Amen.
Samek.
Amen.
Joy like you've never heard it, never seen it before. Do it in Christ. Be in relationship.
Amen.
Pastor saying, you said we got to be perfect. Did I say you got to be perfect? I said, be in relationship. Me and Drea, are we in perfect? Am I perfect? No. We in relationship, though. I do know how to do this. Watch. Watch this. I do know how to do this. I'm sorry, baby. That puts us back in relationship. Every time she goes, all right, I love you. I go, all right. We back. Yeah. So don't forget, hey, repentance is a privilege to the born again Christian.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Use it.
Yeah.
It'll keep you in relationship.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah.